Over the past few weeks, we have been listening to parts of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the teaching that Jesus shared with some of his disciples and perhaps a few others shortly after the start of his ministry. And it was teaching, I believe, that Jesus used to kind of flesh out in some way what kingdom living looked like. After declaring to those around at the very start of his ministry, the kingdom of heaven is near. A couple of weeks ago, we heard what Jesus had to say about blessing. And if you were with us, you'll remember how blessing isn't to be something in and of itself. It's not an end in itself, but we are blessed that we might then be a blessing. Last week, Jesus continued his sermon by speaking about salt and light. And he said that's what his followers were. It wasn't something that he was just saying, I hope it's something you become, but it was something that they were. They were salt and light. And what he was saying to them was, be salt, be light. Be salt and be like, and be able to bring out the God-given flavors that are already present in the world. Be light so that darkness will not be able to stick around. So today, in our passage, the Sermon on the Mount continued. And I have to say right off that as Jesus' other words and other parts of the sermon would have likely caught his listeners by surprise, very likely the words that we heard read to us today would have done the same also. In the passage, Jesus spoke about laws. Laws that those who were listening would have believed were laws to live by. And yet what Jesus had to say about those laws would not have been what the people would have been expecting. Today I'd like us to spend some time with this passage as well as looking at that passage from Deuteronomy, listening for what God might be wanting to say to us today. And I want to use the title today, Dandelions Aren't Just the Little Yellow Things. So let's remind us who Jesus was speaking to. He was speaking at the start of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew tells us that Jesus was speaking with some disciples. Now, at this point in Matthew's Jesus story, we've only been introduced to four of them. Peter and Andrew and James and John. Perhaps if you were with us a few weeks back, you'll remember how we heard the story of their first calling to be disciples of Jesus. So what do we know about those four men? Well, we do know that they were fishermen. But you know, I'm not so sure that just being told that they were fishermen really tells us everything significant about them about their background. I think important to note is that they would have been very faithful followers of Jesus, of Judaism, sorry. Very faithful followers of Judaism. Despite the fact that many people might have considered that they were mere fishermen, I don't think we can assume that they were without any form of any other kind of education. And I think it's quite possible that they did have an education, at least some education, when it came to the religious teaching of the Hebrew faith. Likely as children, they'd received that teaching from their parents. That was something that was really important for the Hebrew people to do, was to pass on the stories from one generation down to the next, to then pass it on to the next, so the stories would live on amongst the people. So that was the way of passing down the faith to the children. So Peter and Andrew and James and John, they went to the synagogue with their parents. And when they became adults themselves, they likely were still going to the synagogue regularly. Likely they'd been taught all the tenets of the Hebrew faith. Very likely they knew the Jewish law. The law that had been passed down to the Hebrew people back from the time of Moses. Now, we heard about Moses in our first reading today. Well, even though Moses himself wasn't named in the reading, the words that were spoken did come from him as he was nearing the end of his journey with the people of Israel. Moses had been leading the people of Israel for 40 years after their exodus from Egypt to make their way towards the promised land. Moses in that time had been teaching the people, and he at this time wants to teach the people because he's not going to be entering that promised land with them. He wants to leave with them some important things that they can take with them as they go to take that new land that had been promised to them. One of the things that's really important to note is that with Moses, the law was important. And so in the words we heard read today, we hear him say this: "Now, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws." Down through the years, long past the time of Moses, the Hebrew people sought to follow the law that had been given to their leader Moses. The four disciples would have known that law, as would others who would have been around that time. And many people would have sought to pay attention to what the law had to say. So perhaps you can imagine the disciples' likely first reaction when they heard Jesus' words, because four separate times it almost appears as though Jesus has some kind of counter-argument to the law. Even though in last week's reading we heard Jesus say these words: "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Even though Jesus said that earlier on in his sermon, this week it almost appears as though Jesus is saying something quite different. Because four times in the passage, the disciples hear Jesus say, "You have heard it was said, but I tell you." That was a common way of saying back in those days that you can disregard what you've previously understood, because now I'm going to give you something new. So for the disciples, that would have caught them a bit off guard, because to them, the words of the law were foundational for their faith, foundational to their lives. And yet, as we reflect on the passage today, we realize that Jesus wasn't doing away with the law. He wasn't really presenting any kind of alternative to it, to what had been passed down from Moses. Instead, Jesus was taking the laws and helping to expand on them so that people actually understood what the law really meant. You see, one of the problems amongst many of the Hebrew people of the day, and this is something we certainly see in the scriptures attributed to many of the religious leaders, but it also went beyond just the religious leaders, and that was many people looked at the law as nothing more than, I mean, really just like a checklist. As far as many people were concerned, the law had to do with what you look like on the outside, what you did or did not do. Do these things and don't do these things, and then you will be in line with the will of God. And you know, to some extent, it's not all that surprising that that's the way people thought. Even in our passage today from Deuteronomy, we pretty well get a sense of that kind of teaching. Verse 16, "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." With words such as those, it's not that surprising that people believed that life with God was really a list of do's and don'ts. But as far as Jesus was concerned, simply doing what the law said to do and not doing the things the law said told people not to do, that wasn't good enough. As far as Jesus was concerned, living according to the letter of the law gave people a far greater sense of security than Jesus thought they should be holding. Because people could do the things of the law. They could be seen to be people of impeccable character, even though hidden down deep inside, there could have been much in their lives that needed a great deal of attention. To understand what I mean, let's spend a few moments today thinking about dandelions. I realize we're still quite away from having to deal with dandelions in our backyards, but the time will soon come when they will start appearing in our yards once again. And when they do appear, we could do the following. Run a lawnmower over them, cut off their little yellow heads, and assume that we have solved our dandelion problem. But everybody knows that dandelions aren't just the little yellow things. And simply cutting off their yellow heads doesn't really solve anything, at least not long term. While the lawn may appear then to be weed free, unless we've dealt with what's under the ground surface, our lawns are still full of weeds. Too many people back in the days of Jesus were content to focus on the parts of their lives that were visible to the people around. They checked things off their list and tried to make themselves look presentable to the people around them. They tried to make it appear to others as though everything was okay. And you know, I even think that many of them started to believe it themselves. They fooled themselves into thinking that everything was fine. They focused so much on that which was external. They focused so much on what other people could see. They were oblivious to the weeds that had taken root deep down within them. And they failed to see how their hearts were far from the hearts that God longed they would have. Their hearts were far from God himself. You know, I often find it interesting how conveniently we interpret Scripture. Often when we're presented with challenging things from the Bible, we will say, well, God isn't expecting us to take everything in the Bible literally. And so with those really difficult passages, we'll look for some deeper meaning to help us understand what God might be saying. And yet when it comes to those things in Scriptures that on the surface at least seem easy, those are the passages we take literally. It says, do not murder. Okay, I won't murder. It says, don't steal. Okay, that's another thing I will make sure I don't do. I'm sure you'll be relieved to know that I have never murdered anybody. And many people back in Jesus' day would have been able to say the very same thing. That was one of the things on their checklist that they could check off. Okay, I haven't messed up on that one. But just because I can say that I haven't literally murdered anybody, that doesn't mean that I haven't sinned in the past when it comes to the way I've expressed my anger. The things that come out of our mouths can do a lot of damage. When we were growing up, our parents used to tell us, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. You think they really believed that? If they did, they were living in some kind of different world, I think. Words can do a lot of damage. Words can be devastating. Somebody can say something to another person those words are hurtful, and that person can carry those hurtful words for a long, long time. While somebody might not stick a knife into somebody else's heart, the words they use to speak to another can be like sticking a knife into somebody's soul. Jesus wasn't just talking about murder. Because it's pretty easy for most of us to stay away from that one. But choosing our words carefully, not lashing out in anger, now there's something that's far, far more difficult. And it doesn't mean that we've got to be doormats for other people. It doesn't mean that we can never get angry. If you look at the life of Jesus, it's clear that Jesus got angry. What it comes down to is the way in which we deal with our anger. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, in your anger, do not sin. It doesn't say don't be angry. Clearly, being angry isn't what's sinful. More often, what is sinful is the way we handle our anger. Adultery was another example that Jesus used, and that was another thing that probably the majority of the people who were listening to Jesus could check off on their list and say, well, that's something that I haven't done. But Jesus said it's not just the literal act of adultery that's the problem. It's also the way in which we look at other people. People aren't objects for our purposes and pleasures. If we look at other people lustfully, and I'm not just talking to the men, anybody can do it. If we look at another person lustfully, it's akin to committing adultery. As we grapple with the words of Jesus, what becomes clear is that what Jesus was really trying to help the people see was the law wasn't just about what people, other people, could see in us. It was about what was below the surface. We can hide our anger. We can hide our lust. We can hide so many things about us. And we can try to look squeaky clean to all the people around us. But God isn't just looking at all the things that other people can see. God is looking at what is hidden below the surface. God is looking at the people we are. God is looking at our hearts. For Jesus, it was about aligning what a person believed, aligning the faith that a person held with every single aspect of that person's life. And until we get to that point, and I'm just going to say here, I'm not so sure we're going to get to that point this side of heaven. But until we get to that point, we need Jesus to help us get rid of the weeds in our lives. It's not just about living in such a way that those weeds, those sins, aren't visible. It's about inviting God to work deep within us, that we can become the people that God has created us to be. If we go back to the passage from Deuteronomy this morning, I believe there's something important there that we need to see. Despite the fact that it appears as though Moses himself has a bit of a kind of a cause-effect kind of theology. Do these good things and you'll be blessed. Do these bad things and you won't be. Despite the fact that his theology seems to be a little bit skewed, there's something in the words that he said to the people of Israel that I believe are fundamental to you and to me. In verse 19 of our passage today, Moses says these words, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live." I'm not convinced God is wanting us to see this in kind of the consequential act of God, based on the things that we're doing or not doing. I don't think that's what God is saying here, but what I think God is saying is you do have a choice. You can either cut off the heads of the dandelions, so on the surface, everything looks all good all around, or you can invite me in to do some deeper work with you and in you, that the weeds can be dealt with at their root. You can ignore them, which will lead to death. Or you can invite me in to work on them in you and with you, ultimately leading you to life. So I want to ask you today, what is God saying to you today? What is God saying to you in this passage, in these passages today? In what way have you focused more on the visible sins in the past and have failed to address the ones more hidden, the ones that other people don't see? What are the things in your life that God wants you to invite Him to help you work on? And when will you extend that invitation to Him? It can be easy to deal with only the things that are on the surface. It can be so easy to deal with only those things that other people can see. But while we might fool other people, God is not fooled. And God knows what is below the surface. We have a choice as to what we will do. We can keep on cutting off the heads of the dandelions and act like everything's fine, or with the help of Jesus, we can work on the weeds that are growing under the surface. One choice is easy, and it leads to death. The other one, though much harder, ultimately leads to life. The choice is there for you and for me this day. And I think if we listen, if we really, really listen, we'll hear God say to us, "Choose life." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we recognize that so often we just focus on the things that are visible. And we think that's all, that's everything about us. And yet, deep inside there are those weeds. Deep inside there are things we hide from others. Sometimes we even try to hide those things from ourselves. Lord, we pray that you will help us to, with your help, to look inward, to look at ourselves, look at who we are, look at what's lurking below the surface. And Lord, we want you to help us work on those things so that we can become the people that you've created us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.